Today we bring you part 3, the debate between senatorial candidates George Allen and James Webb that you have never heard. That is because when WRIR's homespun C-SPAN was the only radio station show in Richmond to request press entry to the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce debate between George Allen and James Webb, the independent Green Party candidate for Senate, Gail Parker, was not allowed to join Allen and Webb on stage. But WRIR set her up in a corner with a microphone to make comments during the debate. Imagine a political version of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Gail Parker is described by Wikipedia as a businesswoman, retired Air Force officer, and retired Pentagon budget analyst. And she's running as the independent Green Party candidate. Please note that the independent Green Party has no relationship with the Green Party of Ralph Nader, etc. You can hear the full press conference as well as last week's installment at WRIR.org. Just go to our website, WRIR.org, click schedule. Then on Monday at 12 noon, the line and link for Homespun C-SPAN, and then the read more on the appropriate show entry at WRIR.org. So now we take you to a special edition of WRIR's Homespun C-SPAN, where we take the comments of Virginia Independent Senate candidate Gail Parker, place those comments as close to the moment in the debate where she said them, yet minimizing interruptions of the statements of the Democrat and Republican candidates. This debate was recorded September 18th, 2006, at the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce in Fairfax, Virginia. Gail Parker did not get her two-minute opening statement. Of course, she's the only woman on the recording.
We cannot rely on the government to solve all of our social problems. We've seen what happened in Katrina. We are a self-reliant, compassionate country. There are a number of organizations out there that are there to help people, and we, as a self-reliant, compassionate country, need to recognize that we need to provide for ourselves as individuals in the event of needs in that area, health care. We need to plan, and with the advent of or the introduction of affordable health care insurance for everyone.
Maybe you won't think I'm so helpful when I ask this question, Senator. I'm not a scientist or a physician, obviously, but eminent scientists and physicians and people in the scientific community think that embryonic stem cell research has a vast potential to cure debilitating and deadly and chronic diseases. You voted against federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. Why did you do that, and would you ever reconsider your vote of federal funding for this research, which could save possibly, potentially, many, many lives?
Mark, I am for stem cell research and have supported it and will, but not the type of funding for stem cell research that would destroy a human embryo. The advancements in science over the last several years have shown that there are many people who are having their lives improved and maladies treated and nerves regenerated and blood diseases better treated with what are called adult stem cells that are derived from cord blood or various other tissues. And that's the sort of funding that I am very much a strong advocate for. The fact that there's not federal funding is, in my view, is the federal government should not fund the destruction of human embryos. I also don't think that human embryos ought to be created just to be harvested or destroyed, and I'm not for human cloning. But I think we can get a convergence of the advancements of science, ethics, and also proper federal funding by funding these great breakthroughs that right now are helping, literally helping, dozens and dozens of diseases to be treated in this country. Now, that's federal funding. Please understand, all of y'all here, is that that does not prohibit the private sector or states from funding embryonic stem cell research. But I don't think they ought to be creating embryos,
well,
human embryos.
Can I just ask a follow? Would you like the state of Virginia to fund embryonic stem cell research?
No, I would not, because I don't think, as far as I'm concerned, that the government ought to fund. I'm not governor any longer. If I were governor, no, I would want to fund stem cell research that is actually benefiting people's lives right now, and but not the kind that would destroy a human embryo. But the state of California or other states, if they so desire the private sector, do have that prerogative.
Can I ask Jim Webb the same question? Would you have voted for federal funding for stem cell research?
This issue is an issue that affects a very small portion of Virginians. It is an issue that diverts from the real issues of building rail in Virginia, providing jobs for Virginians, and balancing the budget, the federal budget. These are the issues that we need to be concentrated on. I have a strong religious background and a strong religious upbringing. I have a very strong reverence for life, and I support scientific research.
I would have. Senator Allen, my understanding, voted for it in 01. This is an issue that has the weight of medical science with it. We all need to show respect for human life, but my understanding of this, my reading of it, is that these are embryos that were created or were put into the process, and we're not going to become human life as we know it. That's the strong weight of medical opinion on it. Nancy Reagan is very strong on this issue. This is one of her key points. The short answer is yes, I would vote for it. I think you have to respect the weight of medical science and the need to be able to apply this sort of research to grave illnesses such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson, and those sorts of things.
30 seconds.
The fact is, and the science shows, that you can get all of the, we're finding that we can get all of the properties and the potential of embryonic stem cells without destroying a human embryo, and that's where I think you get the proper funding. I do find it very interesting that Mr. Webb brings up Nancy Reagan. I wish he showed respect for Nancy Reagan when she asked him to take down an ad and not run an ad that misrepresents the views and the perspective of her deceased husband. That would be proper respect for women, in particular, Nancy Reagan.
This is another issue designed to divert attention of the voters in Virginia from the real issues.
I'm sure we're going to get into that issue, but before we leave the issue of stem cell research, Senator Allen, I have to ask you this. You say you're against any process that creates human embryos that are going to be destroyed. As far as my research, I've seen that happens in the process of in vitro fertilization every single day. So are you therefore against in vitro fertilization?
No, I'm not against in vitro fertilization. The point is, and I do realize in those processes, and I've learned a lot about in vitro fertilization in the last few years trying to study this issue and be conversant on it to make a proper decision, is that there are embryos that are not used.
So then what's the distinction? Because they
do
create embryos that are then destroyed.
I don't want what's the distinction? The distinction is I don't want, and I don't think, embryos ought to be created for the sole purpose of harvesting or destroying them.
Secretary Webb, 30 seconds.
I've said everything I want to say on it.
Peggy?
Okay, I don't think this question will get me booed. the war in Iraq is becoming personal to more and more American families. As more lives are lost and more troops are sent. My own brother-in-law is there in Iraq. Senator Allen, you voted for the war. Tell me and other families, what are our brothers, sisters, daughters, sons fighting for, and when will they come home?
What all our troops and their families are fighting for is the security of the United States of America. And this is the one issue that drives my opponent's campaign. They're actually, while he differs and criticizes the past and the decisions that were made, I stand by my decision. But the issue is, where do we go in the future? And there really is no substantive difference between us on some of the salient points. We do know it's tough. It is very tough. I have the dog tags of a young man that his mother gave me. I have that on my mirror in my office. At home, I should say, on my dresser. It has also been very difficult in the loss of life for many people. It is a tough slog. It is difficult, but we must win there. I think we're in agreement there. We agree that there should be no permanent U.S. bases in Iraq. I have voted three times against that just this year, and it doesn't make sense to have a timetable. Now, there is a difference, and it came up yesterday. And my opponent, Mr. Webb, said yesterday that in the forming the future of Iraq, that we actually ought to invite in Iran and Syria, two state sponsors of terror. It doesn't make much sense to me to have a country like Iran that has been, is clearly a state sponsor of terror, that's been providing rockets to Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, to have them forming the future of Iraq. I don't think that would help make Iraq secure, nor do I think that would secure America's future.
Senator Allen would like to believe that this is the only issue that divides us in this campaign, and he would also like to believe that we're not very divided on this issue. We've been divided from day one on it. Whether we should have gone in, which I believe was a strategic error, I could go through a whole litany of what my proposals have been in terms of how we should get our combat troops out of Iraq. On the issue of talking to other nations, first of all, I think Senator Allen ought to go back and read a comment he made just last year when they talked about the new president of Iran, and he basically said we should be talking to even our enemies. If you go to how we solved the problem in Afghanistan, and one of the reasons it was so successful at the beginning, it was that we brought all the countries around Afghanistan to the table in terms of a negotiating process, including Iran. That formula did not change until after President Bush's Axis of Evil speech. No great country should be afraid to talk to any other country, and that doesn't mean that you take your other options off the table. And I am reminded of 1971 when we had China as a nuclear power, a rogue nation with an American war on its border, and President Nixon began a process. Not simply I'm not saying bring Iran in the way that Senator Allen is saying it, but he began a process in which we brought China back into the world community. We can do that with the right leadership. The problem with this administration is it has blinders on this issue.
Let me press this for just a second. Secretary Webb.
Without a doubt, if it were not for our addiction to foreign oil, we would not be in Iraq now. Our campaign is about positive solutions. Rail is a positive solution that gets us out of that mess in Iraq and saves American lives. We've lost almost 3,000 of our finest men and women in Iraq, and we've spent millions of trillions of dollars over there. We need to be building rail in Virginia. It's a positive solution that gets us out of that mess. It cuts our dependency on foreign oil. And, you know, even if you can't tuck tail and avoid the need for rail, we need to get back to a place of peace. And rail is a way to get us there. It will decrease. It will cut our dependence on foreign oil in half.
We've heard several times Senator Allen say your positions are fairly similar going forward. What is the one key difference between you and Senator Allen going forward, and when do you expect the U.S. troops will be back?
I think the key difference between Senator Allen and myself on this, I mean, there are a number of them. There are a broad number of them in terms of how you use the military and who you listen to and all these sorts of things. But the key difference between the two of us is he is comfortable with the idea that we could stay in Iraq for 20 to 30 years. He's said it in a debate. We've had bases in Guantanamo Bay for 100 years. I believe we need to work immediately with a conference of nations who can bring something to the table to get our combat forces out of Iraq. At the same time, we maintain the ability to fight international terrorism inside Iraq.
Our campaign is about positive solutions that gets us out of that mess over there in Iraq. You can't tuck tail and avoid the need for rail. We need to build rail right now in Virginia.
Senator Allen?
Well, thank you for asking the question, and as usual, there is no clear plan from Mr. Webb. he criticizes why it was done and should not have gone in and all of that. But the point is where do we go in the future? And for the most part, there is agreement, but he doesn't have any specific clear plan.
You guys don't have a plan.
Other than process, of course, we're working with other countries. But yesterday, he actually said that we ought to get Iran and Syria involved in helping form the future of Iraq. It makes no sense whatsoever to have Iran, clearly a state sponsor of terror, having influence in forming the future of Iraq.
The president of Iraq is talking to Iran, Senator Allen.
Fine, but we don't
even
bring...
But you desire
Iran helping formulate its future. Really doesn't make much sense if we are trying to win this war.
You are not going to have peace in the Middle East unless you bring all the countries
and
somehow into involvement.
And we are going to move on to the next question, Jeff Shapiro.
These comments are Monday morning quarterbacking of our military operations. What we need is a positive political solution that gets us out of Iraq. Building high-speed rail is a positive solution that cuts our dependency on foreign oil and reduces our vital interest in that area. We need to get back to a place of peace. Rail is a positive solution that gets us there.
You are listening to a very special debate that has never been heard before between Virginia Senate candidates George Allen and James Webb that includes comments from the independent Green Party candidate Gail Parker, imposed from her microphone where we recorded her comments from the back of the room as the debate proceeded. I inserted those comments as close to the moment she said them as possible, meanwhile trying to minimize the interruptions of the Democrat and Republican candidates favored to speak on the stage by the host of this forum, the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce. You can also hear archives and last show and additional audio, such as the entire press conference for George Allen, at WRIR.org. Just click on Schedule, then Monday 12 noon for Homespun C-SPAN. Look for the appropriate show entry, and then click Read More for the links and more text.
Maybe this will get me booed. Governor Allen, only because I got to know you so well when you were chief executive. During your years in Richmond, you were one of the few governors in the nation to oppose federal motor voter laws making it easier to register to vote. Your administration went to court in an unsuccessful effort to block imposition of these laws on Virginia, advancing an argument used during the segregation fights that Washington was meddling in states' rights. Now, as a senator, you are sponsoring legislation that would short-circuit a state's right to control firearms within its borders by forcing them to honor concealed weapons permits from other states. How do you reconcile your support of states' rights in resisting easier voter registration laws with your opposition to a state's right to keep guns off its streets?
Very easily, and I'm glad you asked the question, because the so-called motor voter law was an unfunded mandate on the states. The federal government was forcing us to go through these costs for it. The other aspect was the integrity of our voting or election laws to make sure that those who are registering to vote were actually residents of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And so that was the point, is that it was an unfunded mandate upon the states. Insofar as concealed carry laws, when I was governor, we got a law through. Virgil Goode carried that for us. He was a Democrat in those days. And carried a law that would have the uniformity throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia for people to get a background check to be able to conceal a firearm to protect themselves or their property or their families. Many states have actually followed our laws, and so this is very logical that you would have reciprocity amongst the various states. If a permit is granted for driving in one state, it is also good in the next state. And it's the same approach. And for many people who are worried about their safety or their possessions while traveling, they don't always stay in one state. And this is an area that I think is important for personal safety. And I think it is, and if a state, whatever the laws are in that state, you have to abide by it, but the permit will be granted that full faith and credit. That's the logic of it. And in fact, states' rights are, or state prerogatives are preserved in it, but also have reciprocity so that people can be safe.
Secretary Webb?
Well, this is one area where Senator Allen and I do agree. And I don't see, as long as legislation is not a federal mandate here, as long as legislation creates reciprocity among the states, I believe this is quite frankly, a good thing. I have a permit to carry. I've had guns since I was 8 years old. I've raised in a family where hunting and self-defense is a part of the culture. And I think every American who so chooses has the right to defend themselves and their property inside their home and elsewhere.
I'm a retired United States military officer. I support the Constitution and the right to bear arms. I support a state's rights in this issue. I do not own a gun, but I support the Constitution, and I will support it until it is amended or changed.
Let me add, since I have 30 seconds, let me add, there's one other concealed carry measure which I've sponsored and gotten through, and that is for law enforcement officers, that they have the right to carry a concealed weapon, whether they're in their home state or traveling, or whether they're retired, because there are those who may want to do them harm. And it is one of many reasons why the Fraternal Order of Police of Virginia has once again endorsed me for re-election, and they understand the importance of this issue.
No on funds to continue the war.
Actually, Mark, I don't think that's really how the Vietnam War ended. I think there were a lot of other issues in play, as you recall, from the 70s, the strength of the anti-war movement, what happened to President Nixon during the Watergate period, all these things sort of piled on. My view on Iraq is that we got in precipitously. We need to get out carefully, but that does not mean that we should take a great deal of time in order to do that. I would not vote for, I would want to ask hard questions about these four permanent bases that are being built inside Iraq. At the same time, what we need to do is to have a different type of leadership on the issue. We need to have a leadership that understands there's only so much you can do with the use of military force in this environment, and convene, as we did, by the way, after Gulf War I, we convened the Madrid Conference. We need to convene a conference, bring people to the table, and start working towards solving this problem. And, you know, I warned before we went in to Iraq, and I was not alone. General Zinni, who endorses my campaign, a number of others warned also that doing this would empower Iran. We have a situation now where Iran has more power inside Iraq than it's had probably in 300 years. And we have to find the right formula that we can where we can address all the countries involved.
So, Secretary, is that a yes or no? Are you open to cutting off funding?
I would not vote to cut off funds. It is not a way to solve the problem.
You can't tuck tail and avoid the need for rail. We need to get back to a place of peace, and rail is a positive solution that gets us there. It cuts dependency on foreign oil, and it lessens our vital interest in that mess over there. We need to build rail, high-speed passenger rail, in Virginia, right now.
Senator Allen, Secretary Webb talked about a formula. There's a formula proposed by former Ambassador Galbraith and Senator Biden to divide up Iraq to three portions, one Shia, one Sunni, and one Kurds. Is that a formula that you could live with and advocate?
Such a formula should be determined by the sovereign people of Iraq. Having been there in Iraq just fairly recently in June, I was in the northern part, and many had not actually gone in. Steny Hoyer, Democrat from Maryland, was part of our delegation. The northern Kurdish area is a boom town. They're building homes. There's a convention center. It is really doing well. We didn't have to wear flak jackets and helmets and all that there. And so that part's doing well. And all the factions in the Kurdish north part have decided, rather than fighting with one another, that they're going to be positive. They're going to be constructive. The southern part, the Shiite area, is doing fairly well. Well, the tough area is the Baghdad area, and that's where our focus is on military efforts. And indeed, what I heard from all in that, in whether they're Sunni or whether they're Kurds or whether they're Shiites, is a gratitude for this country, the bravery of Americans and their families that sent their young ones or their loved ones over to liberate them from Saddam Hussein. They also recognize that the central part, the Baghdad area, was essential for security, and they do have to have, obviously, provincial rule and a federation, But how that is worked out needs to be by the Iraqis, and us trying to impose something one way or the other will only, I think, agitate situations. So one thing that can unify Iraq, though, is if oil were a national asset, and wherever that, wherever someone lives in that country of Iraq, whether regardless of ethnicity, if it were a national asset and everyone got a dividend from it, like they do in Alaska with Alaska Permanent Fund, everyone, that would unify the country, it would improve their oil infrastructure, and they certainly would all care about anyone blowing up the pipelines because it's money out of their own pocket.
The proposal mentioned by Mark Plotkin has some merit. I agree that it should be a decision by the countries involved. However, studies have shown that if a conflict can be changed from one of ideological into a border dispute or a territorial dispute, the probabilities of it being settled in a peaceful manner go up to 80% as opposed to 20% in an ideological struggle. So the proposal does have merit, and our diplomatic corps should consider that that possibility.
30 seconds.
Well, they're blowing up pipelines right now. The insurgency is, and the insurgency is active because largely it resents the American presence. You can go on these senatorial visits. I was on the receiving end of a number of them when I was in the Marine Corps, and you don't get to talk to a full range of people when you go. Kurdistan, or the Kurds looking toward moving to Kurdistan, is a great problem in that part of not only Iraq, but spilling over into Turkey, Iran, and parts of Syria. The real difficulty is for us to get the American combat forces out of the way and then start being able to deal with the Iraqis finding their future for themselves.
Peggy?
You have to be so negative that even when the Kurdish area is doing well, you have to
George,
be critical of it.
Question.
Secretary Webb.
We had rebuttal. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Secretary Webb, you've written some negative opinions about women in the past, serving in the military, your Women Can't Fight article back in the 70s, and referring to the Naval Academy as a horny woman's dream. Some female U.S. Naval Academy graduates say your writings made them targets of hazings and mistreatment while they were there. Are you sorry about that? Have you offered your personal apologies to them or done something else to make amends? We've heard that you regret it, but will you say that it's wrong?
I've said many. In fact, yesterday on Tim Russert, I again attempted to apologize for the tone of the article.
The real question is here, can a leopard change his spots?
The difficulty is when people are trying to get me to apologize for the issues that were in the article. And this was 27 years ago. It was talking about women in specific combat billets, not women in combat per se. If you look at the tone of the times, and that was a very important issue to be debated. And where the military is today, the United States military is today, is not only something that I'm very comfortable with, this is one of the things that I was trying to reach in the issues that we were debating. If people want to judge where I am on that issue, I think they should look at what I did when I was Secretary of the Navy, when I was a government person and had the chance actually to implement programs. I opened up more billets to women when I was Secretary of the Navy, operational billets than any Secretary of the Navy in history. And I instituted, this was on my own initiative that I did that. I created the forum that did that. And also I instituted stronger provisions on sexual harassment. So, again, I'll say specifically, I apologize to anyone who was offended by the tone of the article. It was 27 years ago. But the issues themselves were very important issues, and I think that where we are today is a result of the fact that we were able to have that kind of a debate.
Listening to Mr. Webb here today, as I did yesterday, and ever since reading the comments from five women midshipmen who are still talking about today, how Mr. Webb's written words, and written words are those that you think about, they're words that have an impact, and how that harmed them. There were words of disrespect, there were words that were demeaning of women. There were words that said that the women who are at the academy should not be there, that they're taking away a spot for a male. And women still today are dismayed that you continue to rationalize those words. When I was governor, and I'll bring up on VMI, when VMI, the court said that we needed to allow women the co-ed operation opportunities at VMI, even though we had co-ed at Virginia Tech and single gender at Mary Washington with the Virginia Women's Institute of Leadership. Our reaction is we're not going to have any abuse of women, no disrespect for women. Here was Mr. Webb, 4 or 5 years after the decision was to have women at the military academy for that equal opportunity, here he was continuing to degrade and disrespect women.
This is the pot calling the kettle black.
It's a disrespect that continues today, as last week he disrespected, again, the wishes of Nancy Reagan to stop running those misleading ads about her husband.
30 seconds, Secretary Webb.
Well, I guess this is my macaca payback. Keep trying, George.
And this keeps the voters unfocused from the real issues in this campaign, which are rail and the need to balance the federal budget.
Thank you for listening to WRIR's own Homespun C-SPAN, where you will hear voices that otherwise would go unheard. You just heard the debate you never heard before at the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce between George Allen and James Webb for the 2006 Virginia Senate race. And we set up independent Green Party Senate candidate Gail Parker in the back with a microphone to comment on the two candidates that were favored for the race debate by the host for this debate, the Fairfax Chamber of Commerce. This was recorded September 18th in Fairfax, Virginia. You can hear the rest of the debate on WRIR.org and next time on Homespun C-SPAN.